हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। अददनस्तृणं दन्तैरिदं याचे पुनः पुनः श्रीमद्रूपपदाम्भोजौ धुलिस्यां जन्म जन्मनि। नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे इज द होली डिसअपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्रीला जयदेव गोस्वामी, द ग्रेट कंपोजर ऑफ दशावतार स्तोत्र, द तव कर कमल वरे नख मद्भुत श्रृंगम दैट वी सिंग एवरी डे, इज कंपोज्ड बाय जयदेव गोस्वामी इन हिज दशावतार। And also the great exalted composer of works like Gita Govinda, very dear to Lord Jagannath. So on this day, as the tradition goes, on the appearance and disappearance days of different avatars of Sri Krishna and also different associates and servants of Sri Krishna, the tradition is to glorify them, to remember them, to remember their birth, their activities, their pastimes, their instructions, so that the mind is properly trained. There's so much of nectar in our scriptures, and by hearing and chanting about them, our senses and our mind become purified. Anyway, our mind goes on to different topics of this world. So if you direct it to great saints and acharyas, predecessor teachers, then we seek their mercy, we seek inspiration, and at the same time, we also learn from their life. So in the morning, we already had part one of the life of Jayadev Goswami, and I'm pretty sure that would be online on the website. So this would be the continuation from where we left. So in the morning, we spoke about the birth appearance of Jayadev Goswami, the childhood pastimes of Jayadev Goswami, and his marriage, where he gets married to a very chaste woman by the name Padmavati, and continues to serve his Ishtadev or his worshipable Lord Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And we mentioned how Jayadev Goswami's dear deities are Radha Madhava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dear deities were also Radha Madhava. And very interestingly, Prabhupada named the headquarters of ISKCON, Mayapur, the deity is also to be Radha Madhava. So very wonderfully we are following parampara. And every morning before every class we sing Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. So Jayadev Goswami, a quick recap, he adventured or he appeared 300 years before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is roughly around 800-900 years before, the 12th century, 11th-12th century. And he was born to Bhojadev and Vama Devi, who were very simple-hearted, very surrendered Brahmin Vaishnavas at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And here now, Jayadev Goswami is living in Navadvip. He is living close to the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu near Prithukund. Those who go for Navadvip Dham Parikrama would still find this place. So now this scene is such that he's staying with his good wife. And even during the construction of his house, the small hut and the cottage that he was building, he needed help. So his own deity, Madhava, is to disguise himself as different, in different forms, like a young boy, like a middle-aged man. And they used to come and help Jayadev build his house. And sometimes Radharani from the deity used to disguise herself as a very pretty young girl and help Padmavati in cooking and daily activities. So this is a reality. We must have complete faith. Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. Krishna says those who are constantly attached, ananya, anya means something else, and ananya means nothing else. Chintayantomam. Those who are always thinking of me in a one-pointed, undeviated fashion. And Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam. They are always connected to me through the process of Krishna consciousness. And to such devotees, I reciprocate by preserving whatever they have and providing whatever they lack. Krishna says. And he says, personally I will do it. So we should never doubt. Sometimes doubts enter our mind. How is this possible? Would Krishna actually do this? But yes, he would do it personally. There is the very famous story of Gita Panda, a Brahmin who used to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. Every day with faith and love and attachment, he used to read the Bhagavad Gita and take notes. So one day he came to this verse, Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham, where it was stated that Krishna himself would do this. So Gita Panda started thinking, why would Krishna leave the spiritual world for me? It's not possible. Maybe Krishna would do it through somebody. Krishna won't do it personally. Maybe this is just a spelling mistake or slip of tongue for the Supreme Lord. He's narrating so many verses, reciting so many of them. So maybe this is a mistake. So he just takes a red ink pen and strikes that line off from the Bhagavad Gita. And then he puts the pen as a marker and then he leaves for begging alms. After some time, one of his disciples come home and he knocks the door. So the wife opens the door. Yes, young boy, who are you? So this boy says, I am the direct disciple of your husband. He is my teacher. And he is given this big sack filled with fruits and vegetables. Whatever he got for today's begging as alms. So while keeping the sack down, there were marks, bip marks on the back of this child. So the lady said, hey, you seem to be so young. What happened on your back? Where are you getting this the whips, the lashes on your back? He said, well, you know, you understand, I'm a young boy. I don't have so much of strength. So I couldn't lift this in the first go. So my Gurudev, my teacher, your husband, he hit me with whips on my back. So I couldn't, I'm sorry, that's part of punishment. So she said, okay, you come inside. I'll apply some ointment on the back. And you please sit in one of these rooms. I'll cook some prasadam and feed you. So he sits inside and he's waiting for prasadam and she's nicely, happily cooking because he gets so much. It's much more than what generally the husband would get. And when all this is happening, that Gita Panda, he knocks the door and he's sweating and he tells his wife, I'm really sorry, I couldn't get anything today. I tried begging house door to door and I tried my best, but I didn't get anything. So the wife said, well, that sounds like a good joke, but your disciple is sitting inside. He's got all the fruits and vegetables. So Gita Panda said, my disciple? I don't have any disciple. I mean, I just beg. I have no disciples. She said, no, you have a disciple. Not just a disciple. You're so hard-hearted. You whipped him on the back because he couldn't lift this. This is not expected out of a Brahmana like you. You're reading the Gita every day. This is not proper. So he was confused. First of all, he was disappointed that he didn't get anything that day. And secondly, his wife is talking things which he couldn't fathom. So she said, you come inside, your disciple is sitting. So the both of them go inside the room in the inner chambers and that boy is not to be seen. So he said, where's the boy gone? She said, I don't know. He was sitting here. Gita Panda said, forget it. I think you're too tired. You're just hallucinating. So he sat to read the Bhagavad Gita. And as he opened the Gita, that red line that he did strike out of the Gita was missing. Now the verse was back intact. He looked at that. He said, what is all this? And then he realized the line that he actually... he did strike out of the Bhagavad Gita, those red ink lines actually came on the back of the Supreme Lord, who came in the form of this beautiful young boy himself to carry out the livelihood of his devotee. So when Gita Panda realized this, he was crying. First, because Krishna himself came. Secondly, Krishna's body, there were whip marks because of my foolishness. I couldn't see that the words of the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's form are non-different. Prabhupada repeatedly said it is absolute. There is no difference between Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes and the scriptures. So he went and fell at the feet of his wife and he said, you're so fortunate. I am the one who reads Gita every day, but you're the one who got darshan of Krishna. So two principles here. One is that we must have complete faith that if we are surrendered to Krishna completely, Krishna will take care of us. So in the story of Jayadev Goswami, we find that because he was always chanting and writing for Krishna, Krishna himself used to come and carry out different daily routines for him. And the second principle is, here the wife saw Krishna while Gita Panda didn't. Which means that if you are being the servant of the servant of Krishna, you get Krishna's mercy first. So that is how it is. So continuing from that story of Jayadev Goswami, we go ahead. So Jayadev Goswami and Padmavati, being simple grihasthas, they used to chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas day and night. No other purpose, no other business. Both of them were so fixed up, they never thought, how would we get our food? How would we get our clothing? How would we have future saving? Nothing, no anxiety. We serve Krishna and Krishna will maintain us. Avashirakshive Krishna, this surrender. You know, anukolyasya sankalpa pratikolyasya varjanam rakshishyatati vishwaso. It is described that out of the six symptoms of surrender, one of the symptoms is that Krishna will always protect me. Always being hopeful, ashanubandha. The devotee always has hope that if I give my life for Krishna, Krishna will maintain me, Krishna will protect me, He will take care. I have nothing to fear. Krishna, my life is yours. Whatever you want to do, you do. So they were completely surrendered like this. And Padmavati used to dance. She used to always keep dancing, thinking about Krishna and the gopis. And Jayadev Goswami used to write poems. So one day he was writing a poem on the flute of Krishna. Like the flute is speaking to the gopis, which is part of the Bhagavatam, the Venugit. So, I'm sorry, not the flute speaking to the gopis. The gopis speaking to one another about the glories and the greatness of the flute. Where the gopis are speaking to one another that this flute is so fortunate. It is made out of wood, but is always having constant association with Krishna. Either Krishna is holding it in his hands or tucking it in his dhoti or always keeping him on his the lips and playing. And Krishna is filling his heartfelt ecstasies for the devotees in Vrindavan through his voice and through his blowing into the vamsi and the venu. And there are transcendental sounds which are created through the flute. This flute is inanimate. Still, it is so fortunate. The gopis telling each other that we are so unfortunate. So Jayadev Goswami was thinking that and he started writing a poem. And this poem became so famous that King Lakshman Sen, who was the king of Bengal then, he heard of this poem. And he asked his minister Govardhan, who has composed this? This is so ecstatic. This is transcendentally deep and esoteric. Who composed this? So his minister Govardhan said, this composition is possible only through the works of Jayadev. Nobody else can do this. Because Jayadev Goswami is talented, not just poetically, but he's also deep devotionally. So only he can do this. So Lakshman Sen, the king said, where does this Jayadev live? I want to go and take his association. Can he come to the kingdom? So the minister said, he doesn't go anywhere and he doesn't meet any materialist like you. He's always taking Sadhu Sangha or the Vaishnava association. He will never come and meet a king like you. King said, but I'm ready to go and meet him. Lakshman said, you can try your luck, but he will not meet you. So listening to all the whereabouts, Lakshman Sen disguised himself like a sadhu. He was a king. He is a king. But he put on the robes, the saffron robes of a sadhu like a mendicant with a danda, and he went to the house of Jayadev Goswami. And he knocked the door and Jayadev Goswami opened and he said, yes, who are you? He said, I'm a sadhu. I'm a traveling mendicant. Jayadev Goswami looked into his eyes and he said, no, you aren't. You look like a king. You're not a sadhu. He said, no, I'm actually a sadhu. He said, don't lie to me. You're a king. And you have disguised yourself like a sadhu. Tell me why you're cheating. What is your purpose? So he just fell at the feet of Jayadev Goswami. He said, you're such a great devotee. How did you recognize that I'm a king? Jayadev Goswami didn't answer that. But he said, what is the purpose of your coming here? And what's the purpose of your disguise? He said, the only reason I disguised myself is not to cheat, but I was told that you don't meet kings. And I'm desperate to seek your association. Therefore, I disguised myself like a sadhu only so that I get your association. Please instruct me. Please guide me. Please become my teacher. He said, impossible. I don't associate with materialists like you. Asat sangatyag ei Vaishnavachar. The greatest quality of Vaishnava is that he gives up the association of those who are attached to wine, women, and wealth, deeply dipped. He doesn't go there because he has nothing to do with Krishna, so the Vaishnavas have nothing to do with him. He said, I cannot come. He said, I really request you, can you come and stay in my palace? You can become the minister. You can become like the head, the chief minister. He said, forget about becoming a minister. I cannot come to your palace. I cannot even remain in your kingdom. I'm going to the other side of the river and I'm building my own house there. I don't want to stay in your kingdom. So this king, the more he was getting chastised, the more humble he was becoming. He was not getting arrogant and proud. So the king became more humble and he said, I won't force you, but since you said you're going to make a house on the other side of the river, can you give me that service? Can I build that for you? Can I serve you? So Jayadev Goswami paused for a minute, looked into his eyes and he said, the reason I got heavy and harsh was I wanted to test you. I wanted to test how deep is your desire for association. Are you just saying it through the lips or do you really feel it? And you've passed the test. Because the more I was chastising you, the more humble you were becoming. Goswami Tulsidas, a great devotee who composed Ramcharitmanas, in one of his chopai, in Hindi, he says a very beautiful thing. He says, Sant Hridaya Navanita Samana Kaha Kavi Par Kahina Jana Nijaparitap Dravai Navanita Paradukha Dravai Sant Supunita. What this means is that he said, Goswami Tulsidas says that many say and compare the heart of a pure devotee like butter. They compare it to butter. They say that the hearts of pure devotees are like butter. But I don't agree to this, Goswami Tulsidas says. Great devotee of Ramchandra. Says this comparison of the heart of pure devotees to butter is not a proper comparison. Why? Tulsidas says, as soon as you heat it, as soon as you heat the butter or the yogurt, its form starts changing, which means it gets affected by external provocation. But pure devotees, they don't get affected by external provocation. They tolerate. This butter is not tolerating. As soon as you increase the temperature and the heat, it gets affected. The form starts, it starts losing its form. So it gets affected by the heat and the external chastisement. But the pure devotees are not like this. So in this way, Jayadev Goswami told the king, Lakshman Sen, that I'm very pleased with you. Your mood is very pleasing. This is how devotees should be. They must be ready to tolerate like a tree. And I was chastising you and you never retaliated. You never retaliated. You should be like the tree. You cut the tree, it still gives you shade. It will be thirsty, but it will never ask you for water. People will be cutting the branches of the tree, and when the sun becomes really hot, they take shelter in the shade of the same tree. In the afternoon, they're cutting and it's very hot, and they sleep under the shade of the same tree. He said, you should be like the tree. The tree is ready to get tormented, but is still ready to do good. It still gives fruits, gives shelter. It never retaliates, never shouts, and never responds to tormenting behavior. So you should be like that. So the king understood. And then Jayadev Goswami, along with Padmavati, agreed to go into the palace of Lakshman Sen. So they go to the palace of Lakshman Sen, where Jayadev Goswami serves him as the chief minister. And Padmavati dances. You know, every evening she dances for the pleasure of the king on different songs depicting Krishna's pastimes. So one day, Jayadev Goswami, as he's sitting in the palace and he's writing, a meditation comes into his mind. He's thinking about Sri Krishna and there is a certain pastime which comes into his mind. And the pastime is, Radharani is really very angry. She is in a sulking mood called as Maan, where she's angry towards Krishna and she has nothing to do with Krishna. And Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, God himself, is going to pacify his pure devotee. Just like the pure devotee gives their complete self in the service of Krishna. Krishna gives himself completely in the service of the pure devotees. Any examples in the Bhagavatam where Krishna serves the pure devotees? Do we know any examples in the Bhagavatam where pure devotees are being served by Krishna? Bali Maharaj. Okay. Any examples from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is serving the pure devotee? Yes, Arjuna. And how is Krishna serving Arjuna? By being the charioteer. Partha Sarathi. What are other examples where Krishna is serving the pure devotees that we are aware of? What happens when... Sorry? Prahlad Maharaj. Okay. What are other examples? What happens when Draupadi calls out to Krishna? Is Krishna serving Draupadi? He's protecting Draupadi completely. Pandavas, Kunti, Sudama. Sudama is a Brahmin friend of Krishna who comes to Dwaraka and Krishna washes Sudama's feet. Krishna is Dwarakadish, he's God. But he's ready to put himself at this humble service of serving his servants. Aham Bhakta Paradhino, Krishna says, 9th canto, chapter 4. He says, I am won over by no material qualities. You cannot win over me through any of your material prowess. Manye dhanabhidana rupa tapashrutaujas teja prabhava balamindriya buddhi yoga. Your beauty, your intelligence, your strength, your influence, your effulgence, your aristocratic birth, your knowledge, your learning, none of this can attract Krishna. Only thing that attracts Krishna is pure bhakti. And if one possesses pure devotion, devotional, transcendental devotional service, then Krishna is ready to become the devotee's devotee, the servant's servant. So the pastime here is that Radharani, who's the purest devotee of Sri Krishna, is angry. And Krishna goes to pacify her. So he tries his best to pacify her. And then finally he requests Radharani, can I just place my head at your lotus feet? You're such a great devotee. I'm purchased by your devotion. Can I just place my head at your lotus feet? Now when Jayadeva Goswami is thinking about this, he said, I cannot write this. I just cannot write this. Because the general populace, the people in general, they know Krishna is God. And Krishna keeping his head at Radharani's lotus feet, people cannot understand. So let me not write this. So he's confused. What to do? If I write this, people may misunderstand. But if I don't write this, I'm not representing the truth. What to do? This is a perplexing situation. So he puts down his pen and in confusion, he goes to take Ganga Snan. He goes to take a dip in the Ganga. Now, after some time, Jayadev Goswami comes into the house and he had ordered Padmavati, his wife, to keep prasad ready. So he comes, has prasadam, he honors prasadam, then he sits down and he writes, Karakarala khandanam mama shirasi mandanam radhe dehime padapallavam udharam. Dehime padapallavam udharam, Sri Radhe, Dehime padapallavam udharam. So Jayadev Goswami writes this. He comes home, has prasadam, and he's writing. Karakarala khandanam mama shirasi mandanam. He's writing all of these verses. And after some time, he finishes this and he tells his wife, I have to go out. I'll come back after some time. So Jayadev again leaves. And when he leaves, after 5 minutes, again he comes. And when he is coming inside the house, it's a Vedic tradition that the wife serves the husband prasadam first and then she has prasadam. So she had served Jayadev prasadam. So now his wife was having prasadam. And when she was having prasadam, Jayadev comes in and he's wet after his Ganga Snan. He comes and tells his wife, hey, how are you having prasadam today without giving it to me first? You didn't give it to me. Generally, that's what we do every day. I have it first and then you have it. What happened today? Is everything okay? So Padmavati said, how many times are you going to eat? You had your Ganga Snan, you came in, you had prasadam, you wrote your verse, then you said you're going out, and now again you're having a Ganga Snan, you're wet, you're drenched, and you're coming in and you're saying you didn't have prasadam water. What happened? You seem confused. Jayadev Goswami didn't understand anything. He said, wait a minute, just speak out. What are you saying? I'm not getting anything. So both of them sat. And then she explained all that happened. She said, you went for your bath and you came in and you had prasadam. And then you wrote your verse and then you left. Jayadev said, no, this is the first time I'm coming in. I told you, keep prasadam ready and I'm going for a snan, my bath. And then I'm drenched. I didn't come. So who came? His wife said, you came. He said, no, I didn't come. I just didn't come. And then he looked at his work. He said, what did the so-called Jayadev that you're talking about, you're claiming, what did he come and write? I want to see. And when he came and he saw his work, that verse which he was confused about, should I include, shouldn't I include, that was actually written there with the proper explanation. And only Jayadev and Shri and Radha Krishna know what that verse is and what is the depth of that pastime. And he was convinced. So because I was confused and because I have given my heart and mind to Shri Krishna and I'm surrendered to Krishna, Krishna himself came as Jayadev. He came in and, oh Padmavati, how fortunate you are. You cooked prasad and Krishna actually ate from your hands. You're so fortunate. And both of them started crying. And he said, he came and fulfilled your desire of eating prasadam cooked by you. And he came and fulfilled my desire of picking me out of this confusion. So this verse from the Gita Govinda was written by, not Jayadev, but was written by Madhava himself. His Ishtadev Madhava himself came as Jayadev and wrote this verse. Therefore, even now in Jagannath Puri, this verse is very famous. Karagaral khandanam mama shirasi mandanam dehi me padapallavam udaram Shri Radhe dehi me padapallavam udaram. Mama shirasi mandanam. Krishna is keeping his own head at the lotus feet of his pure devotee. The purest devotee who is ready to always think of Krishna and surrender their life at the feet of Shri Krishna, to such devotees, Krishna is ever ready to think about them and surrender his very life at their lotus feet. Krishna says, Sadhavo hridayam mayyam, sadhunam hridayam tu aham, mad anyatena jananti. He says, the sadhus always think about me. The pure devotees always think of me. I always think about them. I have nothing else in this world apart from them, and they have nothing else in this world apart from me. Three things. Bhakta, Bhagavan, and the relationship between both of them, bhakti. The three bhas. Bha, Bhagavan, Shri Krishna. Bha, Bhakta, devotee. And their sweet relationship, filled with love, untainted, unalloyed, uninterrupted, unconditional, transcendental, and completely lovable. This relationship is bhakti, pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, prema bhakti. And Jayadev Goswami started crying and Padmavati started crying and they were embracing each other and they were crying in ecstasy. And as they were crying and they were just shaking in ecstasy, not realizing how fortunate they were, and with the tears that were just flowing and wetting their cheeks, in front of their eyes, they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please note, Jayadev Goswami was there 300 years before Gauranga. But Gauranga just came and gave him a small burst of ecstasy. He just appeared before Jayadev and Padmavati. And they were shocked to see Shyam Sundar Sri Krishna as Gaur Sundar Sri Chaitanya. Said, who are you? And what is this? They have never seen Gauranga. And Gauranga said, I am your Ishtadev, Radha Madhava. And then, just like to Ramananda Rai, Gauranga exhibited his form of being non-different from Radha and Krishna, to Jayadev and Padmavati, Gauranga showed his personal form of being non-different from Radha and Madhava. One Acharya comments, Gauranga, Anga means body, and Gauranga, one meaning is Gaura means golden, and Anga means body. He who has a molten gold complexion and body is Gauranga. Another Rasika Acharya, great exalted Vaishnav, explains, Go is Govinda and Ra is Radhika. And Anga means body. So Govinda Shri Krishna and Radharani in one body is Gauranga. Gauranga. Go is Govinda, Ra is Radhika, and Anga is body. So when Govinda and Radhika come in one Anga, one body, that is Gauranga. So Gauranga showed this beautiful form and Jayadev Goswami was rolling on the ground crying. I'm seeing Radha Madhava and I'm seeing Gauranga. And he said, how can I serve you? How can I give my life to you? Gauranga said, don't worry. The same place that you're staying here, he was staying close to Champahati in Navadeep Mandal. And Champahati is the hati, hatta means marketplace. And Champa is the flower, the Champaka flower, Champa flower. And in Krishna's leelas, Champakalata Sakhi used to come there and pick flowers in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, that place was called as Champahati. So he was staying close to Champahati and Gauranga told Jayadev and Padmavati, don't worry, 300 years from now on, I will advent in the same place. And I will be born to Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra. And even in my pastimes, I will take complete pleasure and I will get ecstatic reading your poems. So continue writing. And Jayadev was just shivering and his teeth were chattering and his hair was standing on end and he was losing consciousness and again coming into consciousness, again losing consciousness, again coming to consciousness. This was going on. And then Gauranga said, you must go to Jagannath Puri because that is the place where I will be in my Antya pastimes. He said, I will be on this world, in this, I will be there. My manifested pastimes would be prevalent for 48 years, of which 24 years I will be like a householder, and 24 years I will be a sannyasi in Puri. Therefore, you should go to Puri. So Jayadev and his wife, Padmavati, they went to Puri. And in Puri, Jayadev Goswami finished his Gita Govinda. So even now in Jagannath Puri, on the walls you will find in small, they have written it. It's inscribed in the walls. In fact, Maharaj Pratapa Rudra did that because he realized that Jagannath loves Gita Govinda so much. Lord Jagannath loves to hear Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. And we will see with time. They started reading Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami in the main temple because his fame started spreading. Oh, Jayadev came from Navadeep to Puri and his Gita Govinda is so special. And Jayadev used to go and recite Gita Govinda, you know. And everybody started reciting Gita Govinda. The Panda started reciting Gita Govinda. But the prevalent Gajapati, the king of Puri at that point, he became envious. He said, how is this that I am the king? But some Jayadev comes from somewhere and he has his Gita Govinda and that is worshipped like the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita. This is Gita Govinda, but they are worshipping it like Bhagavad Gita. This is not right. So he wrote his version of the new Gita Govinda just to challenge. And he called it Abhinav Gita Govinda, which means the newer version. And he said, this is what Jagannath likes. And this is what you should keep on the altar. Now the Pandas, the Pujaris, the priests were confused. What to do? Should we read Jayadev's Gita Govinda or the king's Abhinav Gita Govinda? What to do? So they said, let's do something. We will keep both of them at the feet of Jagannath overnight. And in the morning, whatever Jagannath likes, let him pick. And we will read that. So in the morning when they opened up, the Abhinav Gita Govinda of the king was just all over the place. And Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, Jagannath had held it close to his chest. So the Pujaris told the king, well, your Abhinav Gita Govinda was all over the place, but Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda was close. Jagannath had just held it close to his heart. So that is what we have to read. So the king became very disappointed. Because in Puri, it is believed that the best devotee, the first-class devotee, the first devotee of Puri is always the king. And here the king was shown in bad light because Jagannath didn't even regard his work. So he went to drown himself in the ocean. As he was stepping in, Jagannath appeared to the king. And he said, O king, Mahashay, O Gajapati, what are you going to do? He said, my life is useless. I just composed this Abhinav Gita Govinda and you rejected it. Jagannath, I thought you're merciful. You just gave it up. So therefore, I'm giving up. Just like you gave up my work, I'm giving up my life. And he was stepping into the waters. Jagannath said, wait. I'll do something. I'll take 12 verses from your Abhinav Gita Govinda. And I'll add it to Jaidev Goswami's Gita Govinda. And that will be the total Gita Govinda. And that's what I'm going to hear. Now, is that pleasing to you? The king said, yes. Now, which are these 12 verses? Nobody knows. Only Jagannath knows. So, which are the 12 verses that Jagannath picked out of the king's work? And which were added in which portion of Jaidev Goswami's Gita Govinda? Nobody knows. Only Thakurji knows. Only Shri Krishna knows. Jagannath knows. Nobody else knows. So then Jagannath inspired the pujari and 12 verses were removed from Abhinav Gita Govinda and they were added to Jaidev Goswami's work and that was being read. And every morning and every night while waking up Jagannath, the Gita Govinda was sung. And every night while putting him to sleep, Gita Govinda was sung. The devotees used to come and sing Gita Govinda and young girls used to dance to Gita Govinda. And in this mood, Jagannath used to wake up. And in the same mood, Jagannath used to fall asleep. So he used to just love Gita Govinda, listening it 24/7. So this continued. Even now, it is said that some verses of the Gita Govinda are sung, if not the whole, even for his Shringar, while doing his Shringar, the pujaris, they sing some verses of the Gita Govinda. And that's when Jagannath agrees to get dressed. That's when he agrees to take prasadam. That's when he agrees to go to sleep. That's when he agrees for Shringar. So Jagannath agrees listening to Gita Govinda. And it's been so many 800 years and Jagannath's love for Gita Govinda continues because he gets ecstatic listening to Gita Govinda. This continued and with passing generation, one king after another, they always encouraged the chanting of Gita Govinda. But one king came up in Puri. He said, this Gita Govinda, this is apasampradaya. This is bogus. This is just made up. And this is not according to the rules of Jagannath's worship. So therefore we must stop. And now the king is saying, we have no other option. So they stopped chanting of Gita Govinda. One morning, when they opened the curtain of Jagannath, Jagannath's upper shawl was missing. The cloth was missing. The other end of the cloth was torn. And all over his body there were leaves and flowers. So the pujaris were, what is wrong? What is all this? So the head pujari was consulted and he went into a meditation. And Jagannath revealed to him, what to do? You guys stopped the chanting and the recitation of Gita Govinda. So at night, I don't get sleep. I'm habituated to listening to your Gita Govinda and sleeping. Now nobody chants, so I don't fall asleep. I don't get sleep. So last night, the gardener's daughter in that garden opposite, she was picking flowers and she was singing the Gita Govinda and I couldn't stop myself. I just went. I left the altar because I'm so captivated listening to this Gita Govinda. So I just left the altar and I started following behind the footsteps of this beautiful girl, this Vanamali Putri, the daughter of this gardener. And she was singing Gita Govinda and I was just listening and I lost my consciousness. I don't know where my cloth is. Probably it's in the garden. Please get it. So the head pujari says, hey, this is what I realized. So he goes and informs the devotees. And they go into the garden and they find a small piece of cloth, the one which was torn here, the dhoti. And they find this another cloth stuck to the thorns of another plant. And the leaves of that garden were exactly the leaves which were on the body of Jagannath. Jagannath said, I told you. This is exactly what happened. So better start chanting Gita Govinda. And they went and told the king and the king said, oh, whatever Jagannath wants, we must do. If we don't chant Gita Govinda, today he went up to the garden, tomorrow somebody in the ocean will chant, he will go to the ocean and he might even leave Puri. You know, Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna just takes the bhav. And Krishna is controlled by the love of pure devotees. Vyadasya charanam dhruvasya chavayor vidhya gajendrasya ka kubjaya kimu nama rupam adikam kim sudamno taddhanam vamsa kim vidurasya yadava pater ugrasya kapa urusham bhaktim tushyati kevalam nacha gunair bhaktim priyam madhava. Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali states that Krishna is not attracted by anything. He's not attracted by your age. He doesn't think before giving mercy on the basis of all these criteria. If age was a criteria for giving mercy, how did Krishna give mercy to Dhruva and Prahlad? They were 5 years old. If knowledge, material education is the criteria for getting Krishna's mercy, then how did Gajendra get Krishna's mercy? He's an elephant. If external beauty is a criteria for getting Krishna's mercy, then how did Kubja, the hunchback woman, how did she get Krishna's mercy? If possessing wealth is a criteria for getting Krishna's mercy, then how did Sudama, the poverty-stricken Brahmana, how did he get Krishna's mercy? If aristocratic birth is the criteria for getting Krishna's mercy, then how did Vidura, the son of a maidservant, get Krishna's mercy? The only criteria to get Krishna's mercy is unalloyed love, bhakti. And Jagannath revealed that wherever there is devotion in singing of Gita Govinda, that's where I am. Naham tishthami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishthami narada. Krishna tells Narada that I don't stay in Vaikuntha. I don't stay in the hearts of the yogis. Wherever there is the loud chanting of my holy name, that's where I reside. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayadev Goswami heard all this and he was just smiling. He knew how dear Gita Govinda was to Jagannath. Jayadev Goswami developed this desire of putting all the verses of Gita Govinda on a piece of cloth, like you have a big shawl or a towel, so to speak, an angavastra, and print all the verses of Gita Govinda on the cloth, and then drape Jagannath with that cloth. Because Jagannath loves Gita Govinda, so imagine how much he will love it. So he went to this devotee who would do it. So he gave the cloth, and he said, can you print all the verses on them? He said, I can, provided you should continuously sing. Jayadev said, okay, I will continuously sing. And nobody else apart from Jayadev knew the flow of and the depth of Gita Govinda. So he started reciting and chanting. And at one point, the pastime of the Rasalila came in the flow. And the scene was where Radhani gets angry at Krishna and she leaves the dancing arena. And Krishna goes behind Radhani to pacify her. And when Jayadev Goswami was singing this portion of the Gita Govinda, he just fainted in ecstasy. He was dipped in this love for Krishna that he said, oh, how can Radharani survive without Krishna? And what is Krishna going to do? Just fell unconscious. Now this devotee was printing. He said, hey, you're supposed to constantly sing. Now what to do? You fainted. And nobody apart from Jayadev knows the flow. So another person came in at that point. And he said, you continue writing, I will sing. So this devotee said, who are you? He said, that is Jayadev, I am Krishnadev, I am his brother. Krishnadev? Jayadev has no brothers as far as I know. No, you don't know, I am Jayadev's brother, my name is Krishnadev. People also know me in this village as Jagannath. Okay, but I've never seen you in this village. I don't live in this village. I'm from another village. I'm Jayadev's brother and I've come here. That's all. So now you continue printing and I will sing. He said, but how would you know? Only Jayadev knows. No, Jayadev and I, both of us know. You don't know. You write. So Krishnadev started singing. And he finished and he left. And by then Jayadev just woke up to external senses and he told this devotee, I'm really sorry, I couldn't complete. He said, no problem, it's completed. Your brother Krishnadev came and did it. Jayadev said, Krishnadev? Brother? From where? I have no brothers. Krishnadev, that's the first time I'm listening to this name. Said, he's also known as Jagannath in this village. Jayadev already has this past experience where Krishna comes and writes for him. He said, ah, Krishnadev. And he's known as Jagannath. I know whom you're talking about. And it's only Jagannath and me who know the flow, so makes sense. So out of the whole Gita Govinda, these are the two verses. One verse where Krishna himself came and wrote for Jayadev, and one verse where he came and sang for Jayadev. So in Puri, even if the whole Gita Govinda is, they don't have time to recite, these two verses they recite and finish it. Because both were composed by Jagannath himself. So in this way, Jagannath, he continued to, serve Jayadev. One day, another king from another kingdom, he invited Jayadev Goswami and Padmavati to come and sing the Gita Govinda. So both of them went. And thousands of devotees were waiting. Ah, oh, Jayadev Goswami, Da Jayadev Goswami, Da Gita Govinda. Oh, they're coming and they're singing. And Jayadev Goswami was singing so sweetly. And Padmavati was dancing to Gita Govinda. And everybody was in rapt attention. They had tears. They had transcendental symptoms just by hearing this Shuddha Naam, this transcendental pure vibration from the lips of Jayadev and Padmavati. And the king gave lakhs and the millions and millions of gold coins. He said, this is your gift, keep it. Jayadev, well, I mean, I'm a beggar. I mean, what would I do with gold coins? He said, no, this is your reward, keep it. So some thieves in the kingdom saw this. Jayadev was given so many coins by the king, so many precious jewels by the king, and he has no regard for it. Let's go and plunder everything. So four thieves, they disguised themselves as friends, and they told Jayadev, we'll take you back to the place where you come from. Probably you don't remember the route. We will help you. Jayadev said, oh, you're so kind. Please come. And on the way, the thieves plundered everything from Jayadev, cut his hands, and threw him into a manhole, a pit. And Jayadev continued singing for Krishna. He continued singing for Krishna. Pure devotees are never perturbed. Prabhupada said in one place, greatness of a devotee is ascertained by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Greatness of a pure devotee, of a devotee, is ascertained by his or her ability to tolerate provoking situations. Everybody has provoking situations. Some have mental provoking situations, some have verbal provoking situations. And think about Jayadev, he was put in the most provocative situation possible. His hands were cut, he was thrown into this pit. But he always saw everything as the mercy of Sri Krishna. There's a very beautiful story I would like to narrate here. In one kingdom, one minister was always surrendered to Krishna, and he used to always see everything as the mercy of the Lord. The king said, oh, it's raining. The minister used to say, oh, that's the mercy of the Lord. The king used to say, oh, it's very hot. The minister used to say, oh, that's the mercy of the Lord. So one day the king had gone for hunting, and he lost his finger. You know that story? Anybody knows that story? You've heard that story? Okay. So accidentally, while, you know, shooting his arrow and bow, he lost his thumb. He lost his finger. And blood was just oozing. And this minister was also with him. And the minister told the king, oh, don't worry. You lost your finger. It's all Krishna's mercy. There's blood oozing. Oh, that's Krishna's mercy. You're crying in pain. Oh, it's Krishna's mercy. The king got crazy. He said, everything Krishna's mercy is okay, but I've lost my finger. What is Krishna's mercy in this? Put this guy behind bars. Imprison him. The minister said, oh, that's also Krishna's mercy. King said, is this Krishna's mercy? Oh, yes. Everything is Krishna's mercy. Everything happens for good. So he was imprisoned. And he was staying in that prison, and he was not affected. He was not agitated. He was saying, that's Krishna's mercy. After a few months, the king had to go for hunting. And he went for hunting, and he was caught by the local tribes. And the local tribes just tied his body and said, oh, we have to take you as an offering to Kali, goddess Durga. So therefore, you are the offering. You are the bali. We are going to kill you, and you're going to offer you to Kali. The king said, but why me? He said, no, we're just looking for some good prospect, and you seem to be a really good prospect, so you're going to be offered. Good news. So they tied him, they kept everything ready, and they showed to the leader of the tribe. And the leader of the tribe said, okay, before we offer him to goddess Kali, just check if there are all the parts in his body are intact. Because if there's anything missing, we cannot offer him, because that's not a good offering. So they checked and said, oh, there's a thumb missing. The leader said, oh, now you cannot offer him, just release him. Just release him, you cannot offer him to Kali. So the king comes back and he tells the minister, you were right.
I lost this finger by Krishna's mercy. Because if I had not lost this finger, I would have lost my life today. So Krishna just took this finger away. So I understand that I losing my finger is Krishna's mercy. But oh minister, please tell me, you being imprisoned, how is that Krishna's mercy? The minister smiled and he said, look, O king, you lost your finger and therefore you were not offered. If I was not imprisoned, I would have been with you on this hunting mission. And because you have lost your finger and you're not a good prospect, they would have caught hold of me being a good prospect. And because I was imprisoned, I was not with you and I saved my life. So everything happens for Krishna's mercy. Everything happens for good. So through the story, we understand that maybe our vision, our perception for things that happen in this world might not be perfect. We might see things in a very short distance and short vision and we say, hey, this is so bad. We are chanting Hare Krishna, how can this happen to me? But Krishna is not somebody who just has a short vision. He sees the future and changes your present. We see our present and plan our future. Krishna sees our future and plans our present. So therefore, pure devotees are never perturbed. So Jayadeva was thrown, cut, his hands were cut and thrown into a manhole, and he was a pit, and a koopa or a kund. And he was just sitting and chanting Harinam and Gita Govinda. Oh, this is Jagannath's mercy. I lost my hands. This is Jagannath's mercy. The thieves plundered me. I lost all my wealth. This is Jagannath's mercy. Very difficult to see this. But this is the only way. Pure devotees have this vision. Therefore, we must develop. We must tolerate. Tam titi kshasva bharata, as Krishna says. We must tolerate. When the good comes in, we are grateful. And when the bad comes in, we are even more grateful. Because that bad provoking situation takes us more closer towards Krishna. Because when you're helpless, you're filled with sorrow, you can call out to Krishna from your heart. When you're happy, how can you say, Krishna, I'm yours? Well, the money is mine. The education is mine. The influence is mine. But when Krishna takes everything away, that's when we can cry out to Krishna, oh Krishna, nothing is mine. I belong to you, you belong to me. So this way, Jayadeva was put in this manhole. And Lakshman Sena, the king, somehow happened to cross by. He said, this seems like Jayadeva's voice. Where is he? So he looked into this manhole and Jayadeva was sitting. He said, what happened to you? Come out. Come out. I'll take you. And then he took him back to his kingdom. Jayadeva didn't say anything. He didn't say, I was chanting, I am the good guy. They came and did this to me. You know how bad they are. This is what we might probably do. Little provocation from anywhere, from anything, and we are ever ready. I am fine. We end up justifying and vindicating ourselves out of that situation. Said, I didn't say this, but she said this. He did this. You see how bad this is? We don't just find faults, but we preach and propagate that fault. And that fault, which is in our head, cascades down to our tongue, and from our tongue enters the ear holes of the listener, and from the ear hole of the listener it enters their mind and probably comes down their tongue, and God knows where it's propagating. So devotee doesn't do this. So Jayadeva was in the kingdom and he said, oh, this is just Jagannath's mercy. It's a long story, forget it. So after a few days, those thieves, they dressed themselves as artists and they came to the kingdom of this king. They came into this kingdom and said, oops, this Jayadeva is here. I thought we killed him. We just made him a beggar and threw him into that manhole. What is he doing here? And Jayadeva just smiled at them because he realized who they were. And he looked at the king and he said, you should bless them, O king. They are wonderful artists. You should give all your wealth to them. So the king gave all the wealth and sent a soldier back to escort them. On the way, the soldier started speaking to the artists. And the soldier said, do you know our chief minister? Do you know Jayadeva by any chance? Why did he recommend you all so strongly? Look at these thieves. Their mentality still doesn't change. They say, actually he was part of us, our group. He was previously part of our group and now he's become a chief minister. And so that we shouldn't speak ill about him and speak about his past history, he's trying to bribe us. He's a very big thief. You don't know that. So they continue telling the soldier, and he was believing. And very soon as the thieves were lying, Mother Earth just opened and the thieves were just swallowed by Mother Earth. That's one version. The other version says, as soon as they lied, their body was burnt to ashes because Krishna couldn't tolerate. You know? So the Bhagavatam says the earth can tolerate the weight of everything. All the buildings, all the construction, all the blah, 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 all the weight possible. But Mother Earth cannot tolerate the weight of speaking lies, the weight of killing cows, the weight of aborting children in the womb, and the weight of killing women and senior citizens. She cannot. She can tolerate all the possible weights possible, but this the weight of the sin, she cannot. So as soon as they spoke ill about Jayadev, two things happened. Jayadev's hands came out again by his mystic potency, and they were destroyed. But Jayadev still, you know, had so much of attachment and love for them. When the soldier came and told them all this, Jayadev started praying to Jagannath, and he said, you should revive them. You should bless them. They are great devotees. They are very nice souls. And seeing the recommendation of Jayadev, Jagannath revived them back to life and gave them sadbuddhi, or proper intelligence. So in this way, there are many more pastimes of Jayadev and Padmavati, and how beautifully they served Jagannath, and how wonderfully they exhibited so many transcendental qualities that a devotee must learn from. But however, it's 8:30 and we have to stop here. Tomorrow morning, or probably tomorrow evening, we might have one more session, I'm not sure when. And there are a few more pastimes that will finish, and we'll speak about the disappearance of Jayadev and some more glories of Gita Govinda. So we'll stop here, and if there are any questions or any additions or anything you want to add or ask or suggest, anything. All right. Srila Jayadev Goswami Pad ki, Gita Govinda ki, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. Gaur Premanandi.